Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
This is Mike, and thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. We are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios here on this Thursday, April 12th, and we got a great show for you today, as later on in the podcast, we will be joined by the big O, Orlando Elzagheri from 560 WQAM in Miami to talk about the upcoming Miami Dolphins draft in the Miami Dolphins offseason overall. The Big O has been a longtime supporter of our site, one of the first guests we ever had on our podcast way back in the day when we started the podcast, and a great friend to myself and Tom. So later on in the podcast, we'll be joined by the Big O, Orlando Elzagheri. But before we get to that, there's some news to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First and foremost, it was announced today, the 2018 Miami Dolphins preseason schedule. Let's run through it real quick. Week 1, the Miami Dolphins will play at home against Tampa Bay. Week 2, the Miami Dolphins will travel to the Carolina Panthers. Week 3, the Miami Dolphins will be at home against the Baltimore Ravens. And as we all know, Week 3 is the most important week of the NFL preseason. And in the meaningless Week 4 game, the Miami Dolphins will travel to Atlanta. There's no word yet on if for one of these games, if the Miami Dolphins will either be hosting or traveling to a site to practice with one of these teams for a full week. A couple years ago, they did that with the Carolina Panthers, who, of course, they do play in the second week of the preseason this year. So I wouldn't be shocked if Miami were to travel to Carolina once again and practice with them for the whole week leading up to that Week 2 preseason game. And I know last year they did that with Philadelphia as well. So there's no word on that yet, but I wouldn't be shocked if something like that is set up, as it appears that is something Adam Gase likes to do. And I think it's very good too, because I'm one who believes that you get more out of practices than you do in the actual preseason games. And the practices are more important than the actual games itself, because the games themselves are essentially meaningless. But the practices is a controlled environment where you can put your players in situations to see how they react and see how they play. So we'll see, but there's no word on that yet. But the preseason schedule was announced today. So home against Tampa, at the Panthers, home against the Ravens, at Atlanta. In other news, the Miami Dolphins today also signed a linebacker. They signed linebacker Terrence Garvin from, he spent last year with the Seattle Seahawks. Nothing to get excited about here, folks. He only started 3 games last year. He is a marginal linebacker at best. Pretty much just a special teams guy, maybe even just a training camp body. Essentially, he was pretty much signed to replace Neville Hewitt. If you want to look at it that way, he's that type of player. Nothing to get excited about. He has bounced around the league since he came into the league. He started off with the Pittsburgh Steelers between 2013 and 2015. In 2016, he was with the Washington Redskins. In 2017, he was with the Seattle Seahawks. And now 2018, he's with the Miami Dolphins. Pretty much a special teams guy. Nothing to get excited about, as I said. But he does add a little bit of depth to the linebacker spot. Someone who can push a Mike Hall or a Chase Allen, I guess, for a 5th or 6th linebacker spot. And if it may be someone who can contribute even more than they can on special teams. So Terrence Garvin is now a member of the Miami Dolphins. A couple other things before we get to the interview with the Big O. On yesterday's podcast, for those of you who listened, we went through Todd McShay's 3-round mock draft he put up on ESPN.com. I pretty much panned it. It was pretty bad. As Todd McShay, I don't think he understands the situation the Miami Dolphins are in right now, and that they have glaring holes at linebacker and tight end, and he has Miami essentially ignoring those spots. Well, on Wednesday, Mel Kiper put up pretty much the same thing, a 3-round mock draft, and I like his a little bit more, and if his actually happened, I wouldn't be upset. Now, one of the picks I really don't like, but the other two I like a lot. So let's go through this real quick. Mel Kiper in round one, pick number 11, has the Miami Dolphins selecting Derwin James, a safety out of Florida State. Again, love the pick. Great player. Someone who can cover a tight end and help out the Miami Dolphins in that role. As we know, anyone who watched even just a handful of games last year, the Miami Dolphins have nobody on the roster who can cover a tight end. So James would be a solid pick in round one, and I would have no problem with that. And it does fill a need. Yes, Miami has McDonald. Yes, Miami has Jones. But James, long-term, is a great player. So no problem there. Now, his second-round pick I don't like. His second-round pick, he has the Miami Dolphins selecting James Washington, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma State. No knock on Washington. He is an outstanding player. But the Miami Dolphins cannot afford to take a wide receiver in the second round. And this falls into the luxury pick category. Yes, Devontae Parker might be gone after this year, but they can't worry about that right now in round two of this draft when they have no tight ends on their roster that are any good and maybe only one or two linebackers on their roster who are any good. So that pick I don't like. Look, if Miami did select a wide receiver in round two, then it makes you question why did they sign both Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola. It makes you wonder what Jakeem Grant's role is, even if he then has one. If they were to make a pick like this, like, would you even need him on the roster still? It's like you cannot carry six wide receivers or seven wide receivers on this roster, and Miami right now is flushed with wide receivers. As it is today, to use a high second-round pick on one just makes zero sense. So that's one of the picks. Now, Mel Kiper might be with this little mock here saying, well, he's the best player on the board, which I get, and he very well might be. But the Miami Dolphins, that's a luxury pick for them right now, and they can't afford that pick. So I don't agree with that pick. But in round three, he redeems himself as he has the Miami Dolphins, round three, pick number 73, selecting Jerome Baker, the outside linebacker from Ohio State. He's a speed guy. He's that heat-seeking missile type where he will track down the ball sideline to sideline super fast. Like that pick in round three. Outside linebackers in need, and taking one here in round three is a fit. And someone who can hopefully, you know, he's probably not going to start, but someone who can be your fourth linebacker year one, maybe fifth linebacker year one, and grow maybe into a starter someday. So his draft overall with his first three picks, James, Washington, and Baker, I like it a lot better than what Todd McShay he put out earlier this week, as his draft really made no sense. He did have the Miami Dolphins taking Josh Allen in round one, McShay, which, okay, that's fine. I'm not as down on Josh Allen as some are, but and I wouldn't be upset with that pick because I sort of, quote-unquote, get it with the quarterback spot, but his picks in round two and three made zero sense. But this draft we'll hear with Mel, I like a lot more. And we're going to be reviewing a lot more of these mock drafts from the experts. I'm not going to just talk about any old guys' mock drafts online. I talk about the guys who are the respected guys, the Mike Mayocks, Todd McShays, the guys from NFL.com. You know, we will break them down as you're going to see a ton of mock drafts. And they're going to be coming out fast and furious here between now and the 26th. That's the first day of the draft? The 26th. So they're going to be coming out fast and furious. So we'll be talking about more mock drafts. Another thing I want to talk about. Today there was a Facebook Live, if you didn't see it. And if you haven't seen it, go to the Miami Herald website. It's up on there. Or go to their Facebook page. It's up on there as well. With Armando Salguero and Adam Beasley, two of the very good reporters who cover the Miami Dolphins. And they did a Facebook Live. And one of the things on there that I found interesting was something that Armando said. When talking about the quarterbacks, Armando said Luke Falk is the one who keep an eye on for Miami, that he would not be shocked if Miami made a move to maybe take him with their pick in the second round, or if they don't take him there, for them to maybe package some picks and get a second pick in round two and take Luke Falk there. So I found that interesting. They're pretty much, I mean, it was about a half hour Facebook Live, which is great. Everyone should go check it out. Like I said, they talked about, you know, the Miami Dolphins have, as I've been saying on this show for now well over a month, glaring needs at linebacker and tight end. And Armando, he predicts that Miami will pick a defensive player with pick 11, whether that's a linebacker, whether that's a defensive tackle, or even a safety. That's will be the pick there. And with their second round pick, that they will go with a tight end. Now, who that tight end is, who the heck knows. But with a tight end there, and then that they might try to move back into round two to grab the quarterback or a quarterback possibly. And as I always say, we've had him on this podcast before, Armando. He's one of the best. And when he reports something regarding the Miami Dolphins, 9 times out of 10, it comes true. So if he's saying it, he must have heard something from somebody who knows something. So that is something to keep an eye on there. So let's see. I think that's pretty much all I got for today. Let's get to our interview with the big O, Orlando Alzagari. Tom Earnesty here from our website had the opportunity to talk to the big O from 560 WQAM and also from Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. He has a weekend show there as well every Saturday and Sunday. He had a few spoke with the big O today. Now, I will say the first part of this interview, because of some bad weather, is a little choppy in parts. And I apologize about that. We usually strive to have the best audio quality for our podcast, but there are parts of the interview at the beginning that's a little choppy. But as it goes on, it gets much better. So fight through it. It's not that bad, and you can make out what's being said. So it's not that bad, but I do apologize about that. There was some rough weather in the area that played with the cell phones and such. So everyone, sit back and enjoy our interview with the big O, Orlando Alzagari from 560 WQAM and Mad Dog Radio from Sirius Satellite Radio. This is Tom Earnesty at DolphinsTalk.com. Joining me tonight on the podcast is the big O, Orlando Alzagari from 560 WQAM. Orlando, how you doing tonight?
I am doing great. Can't complain, my brother. Getting ready for another draft. Hopefully the Dolphins can have a fantastic draft. They're going to need it for this upcoming season.
It seems to be the case, and a lot of people have been saying that a lot of head scratching regarding the Miami Dolphins this offseason and a lot of moves they've done. With Ndamukong Suh gone, we no longer have Jarvis Landry as two of the bigger names that are gone from this football team, and as well as Pouncey. Where do you feel the Dolphins are right now as a football team, and do you believe they are better off today not having those guys on the roster at their current salaries, or do you believe that, you know, it's good that they're gone because of all the stories that are out about the attitude of the team and things like that?
Well, here's where it's at. I'm glad some of them are gone because the salaries were killing this team. But the problem is they still have way too many bad salaries on this team, and that's been the problem with them. And the way they do business is just not the right way to go about things. I had Andrew Brandt on my show, who's a highly respected executive with the Green Bay Packers and an agent. And we were talking about, you know, when you have important players, you want to get them under contract a year before they expire. In Green Bay, the high-profile guys, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or your number one wide receiver or your defensive end, we try to get it 2 years out. So at the same time, you're going to get a discount. The second the guys get to free agency, forget about it. The price balloons, and then all of a sudden now, you're not going to get value anymore for him. And like Jarvis Landry, I'd love to keep Jarvis Landry, but you want to keep Jarvis Landry around $11, $12 million. You don't want Jarvis Landry at $14, $15, $16 million because that's ridiculous. That's number one type receiver, and he's a slot guy. And so, you know, Cleveland had all the cap space so they can do that. Miami signed Landry the year before, and that way, at that point, or and that way, at least something, you know, and at least in the ballpark. Could have done that with Olivier Vernon. They could have done that, of course, with Miller, but they chose not to. And so the way they're going about business, Kiko Alonso could have played on his contract. They go and give him a contract they didn't have to. They go and give Andre Branch a contract they didn't have to. And it just keeps putting them in cap hell. And Mike Tannenbaum keeps doing what he did in New York, them in cap hell, and keeps putting back dead money. This is a credit card. This isn't fancy where the money, you know, disappears, the cap number disappears, and you get free cap the next year. And, you know, next year the cap goes up $5 million and 182, you know, your Dolphin fan thinks, we got that 182. No, we don't. There's an extra $8 million of dead cap money from all the bad decisions that are 162. So now you're working with your hands tied. Who's working with his hands tied? Adam Gase. So we're not finding out everything Adam Gase can do if he doesn't have the flexibility inside his roster and inside his cap. And that's been our problem down here. It's mismanaged. And until they start managing things the right way, where you keep guys, you sign them early, the guys you let in free agency go, you planned on letting them go, and you plan on using those compensatory picks, and then you keep the cycle going. And you know, that's been the problem right now with the Dolphins, the dysfunctional way of doing business. They've got to go back to the way the Green Bay Packers do it, the way the Baltimore Ravens do it, the way New England Patriots do it. The teams that are constantly winning, they don't live on free agency. They dabble in it, but they don't live off of it. They live off their draft picks, and they keep the ones they love, and they let go of the others, and they use those compensatory picks to keep the cycle going. That's how you do it. Because unfortunately, in this league, you cannot keep everybody. Right now, the Rams have a window. Eventually, they're going to have to pay all those guys. They're going to have to pay the running back. They're going to have to pay the quarterback. They're about to pay Donald, the defensive alignment. And before you know it, they won't be able to keep Sue and some of those other guys. That's why they're on one-year deals. Seattle, when they had to pay Russell Wilson and some of those guys, they ended up losing guys. The Ravens, when they won the Super Bowl, everybody wanted to get paid. Everybody didn't get paid. Ozzie Newsome made a decision. He recalibrated the team, and he got to building it again. And it's on its way now. You know, it's starting to become. That's how you do things. And figure out how to do things and stop doing it the Daniel Snyder way. You're going to keep getting the same 6 to 8 wins because that's what, you know, this league is set up. It's set up for you to win 6 to 8 games every year.
Do you believe Adam Gase now has his stamp on this football team and his free ride is pretty much over with this season if they do go 5-11, 6-10, 7-9?
Yes, I do and no. So again, it's back to the conversation I told you. Adam Gase gets here, he's straddled with Ndamukong Suh's contract. He's straddled with the decisions that Mike Tannenbaum makes a terrible trade with the Philadelphia Eagles where it benefits them to get Carson Wentz. You end up moving down, and you end up getting a couple players that really don't end up benefiting you because Maxwell's now gone, and Kiko looks like a terrible investment, and you gave him a contract. That saddles Adam Gase. The Andre Branch saddles Adam Gase. This year you lose, I think it's $9 million on the Ndamukong Suh contract in dead money. Next year, 13. That means it's $13 million less of a bad decision that Tannenbaum made a few years back when Gase wasn't here. So Gase next year as a coach, just because of the Suh deal, has $13 million less to work with in the cap here. How's he going to give him all the resources? there's one thing I was terrified about with this Adam Gase deal when they signed him, and I like him. I don't like what he did this past year. I was very critical of it. But again, I loved the year before, so I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'm afraid at times that we're going to have that tumultuous crap that we've gone on with Ireland and Spielman and Ken Cameron and Mueller and all this other stuff, and we've waddled in that 6-9 area code every single year, and we never find out if he is a good coach. And so he makes all his mistakes here for 4 or 5 years. We fire him, and then in his next stop, he becomes a good coach. Look what's happened to our last two GMs. And this is blasphemous for me to say, because we ripped Spielman for years, but he was in the middle of a power struggle with Wanstead. And then they made a bunch of bad decisions. He goes to Minnesota, and all of a sudden now,
amazing,
the last 8 years, Rick Spielman, I mean, he's in Minnesota. He's the GM there. He's been there for eight years now, and look at this. All of a sudden, Minnesota's got one hell of a team. Jeff Ireland was here. Jeff Ireland was in the middle of a power struggle with Sperano, Parcells, Philbin, all this stuff, right? Going back and forth. He made a ton of mistakes on his own. Now he goes to New Orleans, and look at the draft that New Orleans has had now with him as the college director of scouting. I'm afraid that sometimes we don't let our football people be football people. Right now, Chris Greer isn't being allowed to be a GM and have total control. And Adam Gase, we're not really finding out everything he can do because he's straddled by some of the other things that are in the periphery.
I 100% agree with you. I think until Adam Gase is able to put his stamp on the football team and not have Mike Tannenbaum completely destroying the cap, trading, making bad trades. Like he said, we got one good year out of Kiko Alonso and a half a year out of Maxwell. Maxwell gets jettisoned last year, and Alonso gets paid a contract extension for having a pretty good 2016. And then they move him out of place to play outside linebacker, and he gets torched all season by tight ends. It was some of the decisions have been very questionable, and going forward, if it doesn't get fixed, it's just like you said, it's the vicious cycle, constantly changing GMs, vice presidents, coaches. We have to get stability, like Pittsburgh, Green Bay. There's stability in New England. There's stability. There has to be a pecking order in the organization, and not letting Chris Greer do what he's supposed to do is just continuing to tie the team back, especially on draft time.
Hey, we were successful when Shula was in charge because it was one guy. It was a football guy. Jimmy was never really reached, the expectations we all had, but at least he was the man in charge, and you went to the playoffs 3 out of the 4 years. At least, I know there were kind of embarrassing playoff appearances for him overall, but at least he won enough to get into the playoffs.
Yep.
You need that football guy in charge, and Mike is a great person. He's a really nice man, but he's not a football guy. He's a numbers guy, and we have a numbers guy playing the football role, and it's proven over and over and over again already in a short time. He has made, Mario Williams. I mean, look at that deal. I could just go on and on and on about talking all the bad deals that's been signed by him. Years he's been here, it's been one mess after another. It's got to stop.
Eventually, hopefully it will, and hopefully they can rectify some of the things that happened this offseason with the upcoming NFL draft 2 weeks from Thursday. Let's get your thoughts first off, starting with the linebacking position. The Dolphins obviously just stayed away from making any moves at the linebacker spot other than a couple minor moves here and there, trading for Stephon Anthony last year from the Saints, and picking up somebody today who looks like he's just going to be a camp body, maybe a special teams player from Seattle. What are your thoughts on linebacker, and who impresses you at the linebacking spot?
Well, listen, I can't wait for Raekwon McMillan to come back.
I agree.
And get in there. I love that pick. I think he is going to be a player. I wasn't a Kiko Alonso fan. Even when he had a good year, I wasn't that impressed with some of the things that he did there. So I'm not looking forward to Kiko Alonso. But they need to draft themselves a linebacker. And I'm hoping that Roquan Smith is the guy that's available to them at number 11. I think that guy would be a perfect fit for them. If they get Tremaine Edmonds, I'm not going to complain either because he's a physical freak. He's a little bit more raw than my boy from Georgia. But the difference is he has incredible upside. So we'll see if Edmonds even lasts, you know, to number 11. But Roquan Smith would be one of those guys that I would love to see.
You know, you mentioned the untapped potential of Tremaine Edmonds. He does have ties to the Dolphins. His dad, Pharrell Edmonds, was a tight end here in the late 80s, early 90s.
The good thing is Pharrell Edmonds had mediocre hands. Maybe he should have been a linebacker too. So maybe that's why his son's a linebacker. All right, I'm sorry. That was a bad joke.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's okay. But, you know, one of the things that's very rare with Tremaine Edmonds is he's 19 years old. How many 19 years old players do you see in the NFL? I mean, you really don't. I don't even think I remember a time that there was a 19-year-old in the draft. It's amazing to me. And I think either one of those guys available at 11 will definitely make this defense better. But there has been talk, and of course there's been a lot of the mock drafts and everything else that have been coming out. Derwin James is a name that's been popping up with the Miami Dolphins. Do you feel that Derwin James could be a fit here, or do you think that we're set with two guys that can play in the box with Rashad Jones and TJ McDonald?
Well, another bad contract. The good thing is the TJ McDonald contract this year is still at a respectable number. I believe it's 2.5, if I remember correctly. It's next year where it jumps up to a ridiculous number like $6 million or $8 million or something stupid like that. That was a bad deal. They signed the field, and he's a strong safety, just like Rashad Jones. They need a free safety, and he would be a fantastic pick at 11. I would not complain whatsoever because I know that Derwin James would be plugged right in at free safety, and you finally have a guy that can play center field. And remember, the corners we have, you know, they're young, man. Tankersley is young. Lippitt is going to come back from the knee injury. So you're going to need, you know, Xavien Howard is a young guy. Bobby McCain is a young guy. So you need a guy that's got range and can help you out. And while he may not bring the experience because he's a rookie, but he brings that sick athleticism at that position, but he can play anywhere, and he can even step in and play strong safety if something happens in a certain situation, or maybe you want to send in, Rashad Jones on a blitz, and it's a short yardage situation. James can handle and can get his nose dirty because he can, you know, put a helmet into somebody. So I love that pick. I would never complain at 11 if they pick him.
He looks very good on tape. I know he missed some time in football. I believe it was in 2016. He was out all season with an injury, but he came back very good, very well last year. And I think there's a possibility. And I've been reading this on Twitter, and Omar Kelly has been one guy that has stated this, that he would love to see TJ McDonald in the box as a linebacker, and have him like kind of like a hybrid linebacker and corner. If you are able to grab a safety early enough in the draft to pair with Rashad Jones, that could give the team a little bit of flexibility.
No problem. I'm good with that. I love that idea from Omar. Why not? He's only going to be here another year. If you're smart, you don't keep him around. You don't need him next year because he doesn't play a position you need. A Pro Bowler already a strong safety, so there's no need to keep him around. So unless Rashad Jones, you know, unfortunately suffers some kind of, you know, injury this year, that, you know, obviously hurts his career or something that way. But yeah, I don't mind trying him there. Lord knows we need linebackers. You know, I'm not satisfied with the linebackers we have. You know, Anthony that you talked about, he hasn't shown me anything yet to believe that he can be a starter I can count on. The only guy that I am looking forward to truly is Raekwon McMillan. I think he's the one guy at that position that I can say, okay, I can't wait to see him. He can help us out. I'll give you another guy that I like as a backup, not ready to name him a starter, but I did like a little bit what I saw from Chase Allen. I saw some potential there as a guy that could be a fourth linebacker, a fill-in guy, great special teamer, that kind of stuff. I like him as a raw guy.
How about defensive tackle? Jordan Taylor, all in the locker room currently, knowing that Sue, of course, is gone on to L.A. Vita Vea is another name that's been attached to the Dolphins. What is your
You know, I'm sorry, you broke up there at that moment, and I kind of when you were asking me the question, if you don't mind asking again.
Dolphins lost Ndamukong Suh, of course. Vita Vea is to the Dolphins in mock drafts as at a defensive. Your thoughts on Vita Vea, and if he is available at 11, what do you think is a possibility if they take him?
Yes. I think that would be a good pick. You know, I love what I saw out of Davin Godchow. I don't trust Jordan Phillips as far as I can throw him. Taylor Vinson, I love what I saw from him as a rotational player, not putting him as a starter yet, not there at that point. Maybe he eventually develops into being that guy. So Vita Vea would be a real bonus, especially, remember, guys, if you don't have a great linebacking core, then you need as many great defensive linemen as possible so you can kind of control that line of scrimmage and control that, you know, the running backs as much as possible. So, yeah, Vea is a fantastic athlete at that position. Here's a guy that can add pass rush also to that position. So I like him a lot. Again, another guy that is picked at 11, it makes all the sense in the world. You know, Miami, the beauty of the Dolphins, well, it's really not the beauty, it's the vicious cycle that we've been in for many, many years, is that every year they have several holes that they have to fill. And because they had finally cut that umbilical cord with the Dolphins contract, they're going to need a guy, and Vita Vea would be a fantastic pick at 11.
Excellent. Now, it's not Dolphins Twitter without talking about the quarterbacks. We have four quarterbacks. We know that there's going to be a bunch gone in the very beginning of this draft. Darnold likely to go early. Josh Rosen likely to go early. Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen, there's a chance with Buffalo potentially trading up. If there is a quarterback that falls to the Dolphins at 11, what it would be your pick at quarterback if that's the direction they chose to go with?
Well, no, I'd love any of the top three, except for me, Josh Allen is not in my top three. The lack of accuracy, you know, scares me. Allen I would take in the second round. Lamar Jackson I would take in the second round. Project quarterbacks like that scare me. I'll take the guys that have accuracy. So if Rosen, Darnold, or Mayfield fall to 11, which I doubt it very much, I'll take any of those three. No doubt about it. Now, if you're going to ask me a follow-up on the next wave of quarterbacks, this is interesting. I believe the Dolphins have no shot at the top three quarterbacks that I like. So in the second and third rounds, they're going to have shots at a couple guys. And there's a couple guys that I really like. And one of these guys, you know, you're playing darts when you're doing all of this. You know, the top four quarterbacks in this draft, all four of them are going to be studs in the NFL. You'd be lucky if two of them are studs. Let's be realistic. One out of these four may really turn out to be a franchise guy. Maybe another guy is a decent guy, but all of them aren't going to work out. Well, in the next wave, one of them is going to work out. And I like Mike White out of Western Kentucky. I like Kyle Lauletta. I like Luke out of Washington State. Mason Rudolph is another that I like. any of those guys are worthy of second and third round picks. And if the Dolphins take a shot at those guys, I think it makes all the sense in the world. You've got to bring legitimate competition in for Ryan Tannehill and test him. Nobody has ever pushed him. You have given him this job without even having to really earn it. And while he's done a decent job overall, he's never really gotten over that threshold that proves to you he is a legitimate franchise starter, not a middle-of-the-road guy. So I believe you take a chance on one of those middle-of-the-road, one of those second-level quarterbacks, and one of those guys, you might get lucky, and he might be your Jimmy Garoppolo, your Drew Brees, your Russell Wilson. You know, you can just go on and talk about those guys that came out, and, you know, after the first round and did make it in the NFL. It happens.
Yeah. You know, and I agree with you 100% there. Tannehill really has never been pushed in this position. And the time that we felt he was finally turning that corner, he ended up getting his knee rolled up on by Calais Campbell. Adam Gase has never had the chance to do so, and I think this is the year that he really needs to put his stamp on the franchise by taking a quarterback and developing one. Depending on where that's going to be is interesting. You know, if one falls, like you mentioned, your top three, I agree with you. I don't believe Josh Allen is a first-round quarterback. He's been against low to mid-level competition, and when he did play against decent football teams like Boise State, he was awful in those football
games. I
know,
and listen, and here's the thing. I don't want to – the problem with Ryan was that he's a project. You don't take projects in the top half of the draft. If you're going to take a guy in the top half of the draft, it's because you are convinced he has all the tools to be already a quarterback. He's just got to learn, you know, defenses at the NFL level. He's got to learn offenses at the NFL level. He's got to adjust to the game speed, the normal things. If you got to teach a quarterback how to, you know, take a snap, how to read a defense, how to throw deep a pass, how to, I mean, just how to, if you got to teach him the basics of being a quarterback and he doesn't have it at that moment, that becomes a project. And I don't mind the projects. I take the projects in the second round. And for me, that's what Josh Allen is. And I know he can throw it 10 miles, but so did Jeff George, and he didn't have the heart. Jamarcus Russell, he can throw it 10 miles. He didn't have the heart. Kyle Bowler, I was at the Senior Bowl when Kyle Bowler was on his knees at the 50-yard line, and he threw it through the goalpost, and everybody was freaking out. But guess what? He didn't know where the ball was going, so it didn't matter. Jay Cutler, another guy that can throw it miles, but if he throws it off his back foot, he doesn't know where it's going. I can go on and talk about all these kind of guys that wowed me with their incredible arms, but in the end, they weren't great quarterbacks. And that's my problem. If I'm going to take a guy like that, I'm going to take him in a lesser round where it's a lesser gamble, and I understand that it's more of a project. If I'm taking a guy in the first round, especially in the first half of the first round, I'm telling my fan base, this is our guy. We can't miss with him because he's got it all.
Another position of absolute need that has been ignored for a long time, like linebacker and, of course, the offensive line, tight end. There's Dallas Goedert and Hayden Hurst has made their visits to the Miami Dolphins. What are your thoughts on those two tight ends, and can they make a big difference if it's in Miami or really anywhere else? But obviously the focus is on the Dolphins.
Dude, I'm a huge Goedert fan. I love him, the kid out of South Dakota State. Geske is the other kid out of Penn State. Hayden Hurst out of South Carolina. Those guys are all excellent tight ends. And, you know, so I can go in my homer pick. I think Christopher Herndon in the fourth round would be a super bargain at that point, because here's a guy that can block, can run, can catch. Not a blazer like a Vernon Davis or something like that, or a Travis Kelce, or Njoku, or somebody like that, that has real special speed. But he's got good enough speed to be a solid tight end. So there's some guys in this draft that are pretty interesting. But there's no doubt that if they get Goedert, I would be very, very happy. But it would have to be in that second round. there is no way Goedert lasts to the third round pick where the Dolphins are at.
I don't think so either. I think the tight ends that you mentioned are going to go pretty quick in the second round. I don't believe there will be a first round tight end. If it is, it's going to be late in the first round. But I don't believe there is a first round tight end in this draft.
Unless there's a team that's so complete that says we're a tight end away from the Super Bowl, then they take it in the first round. Or unless there's this incredible freak that you can't pass up, and neither one of those two bills are that storyline doesn't exist, and that player doesn't exist in this draft.
What names did you see at the Senior Bowl that maybe Dolphins Twitter do not know about, or is there a name in particular you're going to keep your eye on, maybe as a surprise pick that no one's really talking about?
Will Hernandez. I freaking love that kid. He is one of the nastiest offensive linemen I have ever seen in my life. He is ruthless. He will run you over. I thought he was one of those guys in this game that that really impressed me, and just ate up opponents, ate up every defensive lineman that was out there. Marcus Davenport, the kid from Texas San Antonio, defensive end. Let me tell you something. I know that the Dolphins are loaded at defensive end, but let me give you a scenario where you take Marcus Davenport, because he was unblockable. The first day he struggled a little bit. Remember, Texas San Antonio. His helmet didn't say USC on it, and Florida State, UM, Texas. You know, it was Texas San Antonio. It was one of those helmets that you had to look in the roster. Where the hell is this kid from? Because you couldn't tell. But he was unbeatable all week. And remember this. Wake is old, okay? At one point or another, he's going to get really old on us from one week to another that we're going to say, wow, what's going on with Wake, right? And so he's going to be gone, let's say, in another year, Wake is gone. Then you look at Quinn that you just signed, and you have Charles Harris. So you have Quinn maybe for another 2 years, this coming season and next year. And then maybe you move on from him also. Charles Harris, you're in the middle of developing. He's going into the second year. I like him. I think eventually he's going to get it, and he's going to be just fine and help this team out. You can have him also come in, Marcus Davenport, at number 11. And you can have now a killer rotation to get after Tom Brady, because you can move now I'm having a brain fart. You can move the defensive tackle, William Hayes. Playing him at an end on third down, you can bring him in, and you can have a great rotation of defensive ends, you know, with this Marcus Davenport kid. Now, it'll be a little bit over surplus at the moment for this season, but you can plan down the line. But he's one of those guys that when I saw him at the Senior Bowl, I was extremely impressed with the kid. And let me see if I remember some other DJ Shark, the wide receiver out of LSU. If they get this kid in the second round, because he won't get past the Dolphins pick in the second round, he's going to go either in the late first round or in the part where the Dolphins pick in that early part of the second round. What a great route runner, exceptional hands. I really love that kid a lot when I saw him at the Senior Bowl. I saw Mike White that whole week, the quarterback that I told you guys about. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. I'm trying to remember some of those other guys. I'm trying to remember some stuff off the top of my head. Oh, Brandon Parker. Man, great feat. Offensive tackle, remember this name, out of North Carolina A&T. I have not seen feet like this kid in a long, long time since I saw DeBrickashaw Ferguson at the Senior Bowl. He had great feet, too. This kid, Brandon Parker, I would not be surprised if somebody drafts him in the second round, maybe early third, and he will become one heck of a player. Alex Kappa, a kid out of Humboldt State, another offensive tackle that I think is going to impress people also that I saw at the Senior Bowl. That's a couple of game, a couple of guys that I can tell you that I liked at the Senior Bowl.
Excellent. GM Big O, Dolphins are on the clock at number 11. They have the options of these players to take. Who would you take? Roquan Smith, Vita Vea, Baker Mayfield, or Derwin James? Who would be your pick at 11 if those four are on there?
I'm taking the quarterback, dude. I'm from the Ron Wolf school of football. Ron Wolf used to draft quarterbacks no matter what. Okay, 1 year he had Favre at training camp, right? And backing him up, he had Mark Brunell, Aaron Brooks, and Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Some guy named Kurt Warner. Yeah, that guy. And he had to cut Kurt Warner. And then Kurt Warner went to bag groceries and play in the Arena League. And then the rest is history when the Rams got him. He traded. He went and traded Aaron Brooks to New Orleans. He then traded Mark Brunell over to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he had a pretty good career. He then went and drafted Matt Hasselbeck and then traded him to Seattle. And if you remember, our boy Wanstead almost traded for him. He offered a second rounder. Seattle offered a first. So then they ended up turning that sixth rounder into a first rounder. And look at what Bill Belichick has been doing under Tom Brady. He traded Matt Castle for a second rounder, even though Matt Castle sucks. But at least he was able to, you know, maneuver it, trade him, draft him low, trade him high. Then he did it with Garoppolo. He traded the kid to Indianapolis. He reached out for Ryan Mallett. You know, he keeps going for quarterbacks no matter what, even though he has a great one. And that's what you have to do. If you don't have one, and until Ryan proves to me that he is, I would be going for a quarterback every single year at one point in the draft. So if you tell me Baker Mayfield's available, I'm taking Baker, baby.
I'm 100% with you. I've been wanting Baker Mayfield since I watched him in the Rose Bowl. That kid's got it seems like he has it. He has that mentality, that dog mentality that Adam Gase is looking for, a leader, a guy that's going to be fired up, not be stagnant and not take the BS. He's going to be an in your face guy. And that's why I think Baker Mayfield would be a great pick if he lasts to 11. And if the Dolphins pass on him, I think that there's going to be a lot of people out in that stadium during draft night that are just going to lose their minds.
No shot. It's not going to happen.
I sure hope they don't make that mistake.
If Baker's there, dude, he is wired to he fits with Adam Gase.
Yes, he
that
does.
That would be the guy. That's an Adam Gase type player, I believe.
I agree.
Let me tell you something. While I was very critical of Adam Gase this past season, and he deserved it, I'm really pulling for the guy now because the factors I've told you throughout this interview, that not everything has been his fault, and some of it is hurting him as a coach to be the best he can. But I think he has it, and I hope he really shows it this year, because if he doesn't, you know how it's going to snowball. It's going to be negative.
It's going to be all negative. Well, Big O, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking Dolphins and NFL draft. Everyone can catch the Big O on 560 WQAM every day at 10 a.m.,
right.
Correct?
10 to 2, Monday through Friday on QAM, 3 to 7 on Mad Dog Radio on Sirius, Saturdays and Sundays. So we're rocking 7 days a week, my man.
That's awesome. Well, again, I appreciate you coming on in front of the show, and hopefully we'll have you on after the draft is over so we can dissect what the Dolphins did and if they are going to be better after the NFL draft and going into the mini camps and the mandatory camps in May and June.
You got it, my man. Anytime you need me, you know I'm here, man.
I appreciate it.
I'm always here for the Dolphin Nation, baby. We're here. Long-suffering, baby. One day we will have a bright season. It's going to happen one day, man. It will happen. Hang in there, Dolphin Nation.
Yeah, we're hoping that we're going to get there sooner than later, but right now we got to take it a day at a time.
You got it, my man.
Appreciate it.
All right, be good.
Once again, I would like to thank the big O, Orlando Elzagheri from 560 WQAM and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Mad Dog Sports Radio, for joining us on the podcast. That was a great interview. Once again, I apologize about some of the audio issues. That's just one of those things. What are you going to do when you get bad weather and cell phones? It happens every now and then. But great interview, a lot of great information there, and we always appreciate it when the big O joins us on the podcast. Now, for some website housekeeping, tomorrow, Friday, Tom and myself are going to be dropping another podcast, and we're probably going to have podcasts out every day between now and the draft, so just be ready for that. We're going to have a show pretty much every day between now and the NFL draft. There might be one day here or so that there's not one, but for the most part, every day there will be a new podcast out here at DolphinsTalk.com. And on tomorrow's podcast, Tom and myself are going to do something a little fun and a little interesting that you're going to want to tune in for. So that's a little tease. I'm not going to tell you what we're doing, but it will be fun and it will be something different. So check out the show on Friday for sure. And at some point this weekend, myself and Brett Legassi, our draft guru here at DolphinsTalk.com, will do the draft breakdown of the cornerbacks and safeties. So be on the lookout for that. That will drop at one point this weekend. Not sure if it'll be Saturday or Sunday yet, but that will be out this weekend there. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of new shows coming out this weekend. And there also will be at least one special announcement probably on the Friday show or maybe on the weekend show. I'm not sure. For a new feature here at the website that you're going to want to hear about. We have a lot of new things coming. A lot of new things coming. And I think you will all enjoy it as we are going to be adding new content to the site with some new people. And it's just going to have this site continue to grow. Because as I have said in previous shows, this has been a huge year for us. Our podcast and the website has grown exponentially. And we are very humbled and very grateful and very thankful for all of you who do listen to this show and go to our website, DolphinsTalk.com, and read the articles, and those of you who interact with us on Twitter and such, we are very grateful. And because of that, we are growing as a website, and we're going to have a ton of new content coming soon. Some of it might be later in the summer, but some of the stuff will be now, like within the next week or two, that we will be adding to this website that we think you will all enjoy. So be on the lookout for that. And one of those things I probably will be announcing either Friday or this weekend. So that announcement will be coming then. As always, be sure to follow me on Twitter @DolphinsTalk, @DolphinsTalk, as I will always interact with you guys on Twitter. If you got any questions, send them my way. If you have any topics you want to hear me talk about on the podcast, send them my way. If you are not on Twitter and you're still, if you want to email me, you can email me at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Once again, that is DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And as always, visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com. Don't forget to check out the websites who re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com. Also, the Facebook pages, DolphinAddicts and FinAddicts. So check them out as well. Everyone have a great Thursday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.